Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
Well, we can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't. We can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. Oh, we can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 3 and Out, Monday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford.
Gang's all here.
How are we doing?
Recovering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Long weekend in Chicago.
For you.
Friday was good. Saturday was great. Yesterday, complete cluster.
Oh, no.
Shouts out to O'Hare Airport for the 2-hour shutdown that delayed all flights. And then the storms in the Midwest that also delayed all flights, pretty much.
What was the shutdown about?
Well, it was weather. It was a storm.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, fall has started in Chicago.
Because fall, really.
Craziest thing I've ever experienced weather-wise. And you know me, Nate Hodges. I'm a big weather guy.
You are a big weather guy.
I thought you said it was a heat wave in Chicago.
You did.
It was.
You did say it was a heat wave.
Well, so, but that's all I knew. So we get there Friday. It's 92. People are passing out at the Cubs game. We're going the next day. Everyone's like, be careful. Drink a lot of water. We're like, yeah, we got it. I'm like, we're used to this. This is us. No. Like, the fact that it's 92 but blowing 20 miles an hour, you guys are coddled. You're little babies.
Mm-hmm.
So then Saturday we go to the game. And at about the seventh inning, the winds shifted.
Like, just straight Mary Poppins.
I'm talking a 90-degree shift in the wind. Flags just went. It was like in
90-degree.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
They were blowing out, and then they were blowing straight across.
Okay.
It was like in Castaway when he's waiting on the wind so he can ride that porta-potty sail to freedom. And he's looking at that little flagpole, and it just and starts blowing the other way. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
A big storm had blown out of Canada and was coming down the shores of Lake Michigan. And it went from 94 to 72 degrees in the snap of your finger. Loudest the crowd got all day by far. It was fantastic. Then yesterday was a lot of storms, some rain, a lot of thunder. Saturday was a day I will not soon forget in my life. One of those days where so many memorable things just happened. But I have now visited Chicago. Big fan. Like the city. Good pizza. Good steaks. Nice people. Except one guy.
One guy.
We can talk about that later. One guy had one problem all weekend at Chicago at the nicest restaurant we ate at. And boy, did I let this guy know it when we left.
Really?
I told him.
You don't normally get heated.
It takes a lot. And this little bleep got what he deserved.
Was he just another patron of the establishment?
He was.
Okay.
He had a few too many, and I guess did not realize the volume of his voice. He was sitting closer to me than Billy, slightly further away than you are, and was just making fun of our entire table to some lady he was with.
Look at these Southern guys.
No, it was way worse than that. He did it for the entirety of our dinner. I mean, I'm talking for 2 hours. Every time I would look over at this guy, he was staring at our table and making a comment about someone at the table. And every time, I'm just looking at him like, you have to understand.
So it was like a comedy roast, but he was not a comedian, not being paid to be
funny.
There, and it wasn't funny.
And it wasn't funny. Only bad part, but man, everything else, fantastic.
What did he make fun of you about? What did he come at you for?
The beard. Yeah, the beard. One half of our table was a bunch of dweebs. I was not on that half.
That's good.
And then I got made fun of for having a beard. It was a bachelor party, so there were seven guys at a restaurant, so he made a lot of comments about our, sexual orientation and our preference. And I'm just like, you're such a moron. Like, you could not be any dumber. And so then at the end of the restaurant, I was the informant. So I kind of started telling everybody that I was around at the table. I was like, hey, you guys start listening to what this guy's saying. Make sure I'm not crazy. Like, is he making fun of us the whole time? And at first, everyone's like, dude, it's not a big deal. Like, you probably misheard him or something. By the end of the dinner, everybody was mad.
Yeah.
Because as you know, Nate, it takes a lot for me to get going.
It's true.
I got going at this guy. Purple shirt. Chicago Chop House. If I ever see you again, I won't.
Hmm.
But if I do, lights out.
Was he from Chicago? Was he a local? Or was he a tourist like you guys?
I don't know.
Couldn't tell from the loud, drunk voice, one way or the other.
He
just had that Midwestern
neutral
sound.
He kind of talked like this. Like, he was very, whiny.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're almost doing your Mike Krzyzewski.
Honestly, it sounded very similar. And I was actually trying to do his voice as I was driving in. I was like, how would I say this guy talking? He was like this. I was like, oh, this kind of sounds like Krzyzewski.
Probably a Duke fan.
He was a little rat. This guy was a total rat.
What about his lady friend? Was she impressed, or did she just like keep rolling her eyes?
You know,
I mean, we've all seen that guy who's way too drunk with his girl who's not drunk at all, and she's just like, oh, man. And if they're, like, married and she's stuck with him, she eventually
so
just like, come on, let me just get you out of here.
Because of where she was seated, I could not quite pick up what she said. But at one point he goes, all right, which one of these guys would you pick if you were a young lady? Like, which is the cutest?
Oh, God.
And she says something, and he just looks at her and goes, you have terrible taste in men. And I just wanted to be like, yeah, she does.
She's with you dumbass.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to say, and I just bit my tongue. Because I wasn't there for him until I was at the very end.
Man.
Until I was there for him.
I want to have a picture-in-picture with her face as he says these things to you.
See, that was the thing. I wanted it, too, and I couldn't see her face.
Like, is this like a first date Tinder thing? Because that would have been awesome.
I don't know. It was an older couple,
okay.
You know, like close to 60s. And so I don't know if
what?
Yeah, he was.
He was in his 60s?
At least 50s, but I'm thinking more like early 60s, late 50s, yeah.
Man, I guess.
You thought he was like our age.
Yeah, I just assumed.
No, this was an old guy, like an older gentleman. Not a gentleman.
No.
I take back gentleman. An older jerk.
Yeah.
And he just could not stop. So we brought a buddy of mine, also in the bachelor party, bought a bunch of bottles of wine for the trip.
Okay.
And so we had, four or five bottles of wine on the table that we had brought. And I think this guy was probably like, oh, my God, they can afford five bottles of wine here? Aww. So I think he felt very, I'm not doing enough by taking this girl here, this lady here, this old woman here. And so I think he was, on edge. I think he was trying to prove himself to her. Like, hey, about their daddy's paid for this, I'm the one really paying the bill. And he really said that stuff. Like, he was serious. But it was bad.
So seven guys with no girls basically made this guy feel like he wasn't good enough for the one female he was with.
Correct. Because we looked damn good.
He was like,
we had our jackets and blazers on. We had,
but she's
good.
Pushing like twice your age. Like, I don't like what. That makes no sense.
Yeah, like at one point,
you guys weren't trying to impress her.
No, I actually was mad that he was sitting so close to us. Like I was hoping we'd be I didn't want a private room, but I was hoping we'd be kind of away from people. Bachelor party, the restaurant we had been to early in the day. They were like, hey, we're gonna give you guys a private room so you guys can misbehave if you want. I was like, all right, we're not going to, but thank you for the private room. This is fantastic. Mm. But then this bachelorette party walks in to the restaurant we're eating at, and this guy's like, oh, my God, seven just gorgeous young women just walked in, and these seven bozos are over here sitting by themselves. Am I going to have to pay mother bleeping matchmaker? Oh, no, it doesn't really matter because these guys probably like men. That's when I wanted to throw something at him. And I'm just like, man, we're just trying to enjoy some dinner with a buddy who's about to get married. Like, hey, back up. So at the end of the meal, everybody stood up and said something to him as we walked out.
Oh, nice.
Because, like, the four of us were in the – it was a big table at a, in a booth. And mm-hmm. so the four of us who had to get out
– You're like, in a booth?
Not a booth. But, like, this side was, like, the bench cushion seating.
Oh, okay.
So we all got out and
– Yeah.
Made everyone kind of made a comment. Like, I just got really loud. Like, everyone in the room could hear me. Because at this point, I was like, we're leaving. We've paid. I don't really care. And I was just like, have a great night, sir. And he was just like, oh, you too. And I was like, and maybe talk a little softer next time. And then apparently the guy sitting next to me, the bachelor, he just leaned over and goes, bleep hole. And then just walked off. It was great. It was fantastic. Oh, I've never been more excited.
And then
we waited out front for him and beat him up. Okay, that part's a lot. We did wait out front for him, though, and he, like, walked the other way when he came out. He came out, took a left, saw us, and then just turned around and immediately walked away. I was like, you coward.
Well, it's 7-1.
We're gonna touch him. We're going to actually fight the guy unless he started it. And then I will defend my friend. But I've never had that happen before. I've never been in a restaurant and just had a table just talk about us or me or anybody. It was awkward. He was the stain on Chicago this weekend. Maybe he's not from there. Everything else about Chicago, pretty in on Chicago.
It's probably pretty normal for somebody to like try and make a comment about somebody near another party around them and say a little too loud to where you're like, did they just say something about us? But usually it's a one off, and then it's like moving on.
And as he got drunker, he got louder. So that at the end, I'm looking over at everyone at the table, and they're all like, oh yeah, we definitely hear him now. And I'm like, yeah, like. You know me. Like, everyone makes fun of me here because I have my headphones turned way up. But I have, like, really sensitive ears. Like, I can hear, quiet things from a great distance. I got ears like a snake. So I could hear this guy, like, immediately. Plus his high-pitched, raspy voice. Everything he said just grated me. It was like nails on a chalkboard. And then he happened to be talking about us. Had a big problem with that. Didn't like it.
If I'm drinking, I always try and talk quieter.
Very quiet.
And quieter, because I know.
You don't want to say, yeah, you don't want to be that
guy.
That
you're loud.
Exactly. Then after that, we went to Carol's Pub. It was a honky-tonk. We found the only honky-tonk in Chicago. Got him to play Rocky Top. It was a great night.
Oh.
Yeah.
She just gone to Nashville.
I guess so. That's it. That's what we should have done.
There's no baseball team there, though.
It was so funny. We were, we went to these restaurants and group of seven guys. We were not annoying. We were not a bad group of seven, but we were having a lot of fun. We were enjoying ourselves. And so everyone would be like, what are you guys doing here? What is this? We were like, oh, it's a bachelor party. And everybody was like, and you came to Chicago? I mean, every single person. And you're in Chicago? It's like, yeah, like we went to a Cubs game. We're eating good food. We're just goofing off. Like, yeah, this is a great spot. Like, she's like, one of the ladies at the restaurant, well, why didn't you go to, like, I don't know, Vegas or something? It's like, it's not really our speed. Like, we're just kind of hanging out. Like, we wanted to actually have
fun. We're boring. That's what you meant to say.
No, we were not. No, we were not boring.
You weren't boring?
No, Chicago, untapped resource for fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Al Capone lived there. You don't think there's danger in Chicago? I got nothing for you, man.
Oh, there's definitely danger.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. We didn't go to South Chicago. But no, it was great. Rode on my first subway. Cheers.
That's a joke, right?
No. They got one here?
You've never been to New York?
D.C.?
Not on the subways.
Atlanta?
No. I've been to all these places. I've just never ridden the subway. Took the train to Wrigley Field. It was fantastic.
You've never ridden a subway?
No, I have now. But not until Friday.
And this isn't some weird qualifier like where you don't count?
No, I had never ridden a train/subway. So really, I checked two boxes this weekend.
You'd never ridden a train? What about Dollywood? Have you ridden the train in Dollywood?
That, no, actually. That wouldn't count if I had, but I had
That's a real train.
I have, okay. It's
a real engine.
Okay, still hadn't ridden it, so doesn't really matter what kind of train it is.
Just saying.
And I'm just saying.
You've I'm never ridden saying. A train.
No, I have. I have now.
No, but before this weekend. Nothing, ever.
Correct. No train.
I can't believe you've been to New York City and didn't visit the subway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I really just drove through. Just drove through the city.
I feel like I'm like I'm the opposite of well traveled. I don't know, however you put that. Like I haven't been a lot of places.
But,
I've still ridden multiple subways.
Is this you? Okay, so now you're going to brag about your your subway.
I'm not bragging.
Experience.
It's not a. It's so basic. It's not a. You can't brag about riding subways.
Gotcha.
I just.
But you can dog someone who hasn't ridden on a subway.
I'm not dogging you. I'm just surprised.
Okay. I got no problem with that. No problem with you being surprised. Doesn't bother me. But no, yeah, it was my first subway, and train. Because it's the same thing. It's just a subway underground or a train underground.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the funny story about the baseball game?
Sure.
So we get to our seats. Bleacher seats. Also known as baseball heaven, I'm told.
Huh.
Bleacher seats for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the south end zone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's way more expensive than the south end zone. Because it's Cubs, so we talked about this a while back. I mean, they basically just made a ton of money off Cubs fans for 100 years, and then finally were like, yeah, maybe we should spend some money on the team and actually win some games. They win the World Series. Fantastic. Lovable losers. No more. So we get to our seats. We somehow snag 7 seats on the first row of the bleachers in, like, the second deck of the bleachers. I mean, amazing seats.
Mm.
And we're all kidding, of course. Like, oh, if you catch a home run, like, you win the day. I'm talking, we got there a little late. I think it was the second inning. I mean, we had to walk around. We had to get, had to get a beverage. I had not had a beverage. Had to get some water because it was just a blistering sauna out there. And, I mean, my butt touches the bleachers, and all of a sudden, some dude for the Padres just... Shoom, cranks one. And I'm looking at this ball as it comes off the bat. It's coming right for me. I mean, it's like an eclipse that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Coming right at me. And I'm thinking, this is it. And I have no idea how far away from the field I am. I'm not sure if I'm, am I 450, am I 475, am I 500? I have no idea. I just know this ball is coming at me. So I stand up. Get a good base, lean out over the fence. I'm thinking I'm going to have one shot at this thing. As the ball closes in, the final, say, quarter of its flight, I notice that it's going to dip and it's going to land short, but not by much. So I'm thinking, all right, be prepared for the ricochet. Because you always see this and, it'll hit somebody and then someone else smacks it up and the guy in the bleachers gets it and he's excited. I would have to throw it back, though. Obviously, Padres home run. I'm not gonna keep that one, get booed out of town. And this poor lady, as everyone around her goes for the ball, she gets kind of jostled and disoriented and takes it off the forehead. This thing bounces off of her forehead, coming right at me. And it just doesn't quite make it. It needed like another. She had really thick hair and a ponytail. And if she had been bald, I'm catching this thing.
I'm looking at the pictures on your Twitter feed right now.
And I didn't know it at the time. I just see it like kind of hit her. And I'm like, did that hit her in the head or the shoulder? I can't really tell. So I'm looking for the ball. Then there's this melee in the walkway behind her seat.
Uh-huh.
Just men spilling beer, falling over each other. Somebody finally gets up with the ball. So we all start beating on the wall, throw it back. And then I looked down there, and this poor lady, she was concussed. She just took a 468-foot rope off of the noggin and was not having a very good day. So here comes Babs. I don't know if that's really what they call her. A bunch of people had shirts that said Babs outfield team on it. And the lady stands up like she's going to leave, and immediately just gets very wobbly. Mm. And then she dry heaves a couple times. Oh. So we knew then, like, okay, she has a concussion.
Yeah.
They bring out some ice. She keeps telling everybody that she's fine. They do the little eye check. And then the medical assistants come out, and they, like, help her back to this nice room with a fan and some misted water. But that was our start to the Cubs game. Then the most incredible thing I have ever experienced in my life. 94 degrees. The wind is off and on. The clouds are not cooperating. It's a scorcher out here. Just no one had a shirt on. You know, like of old men Cubs fans is who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. All of them just shirtless.
Yeah.
The wind is blowing directly into my face. What wind there is. In the seventh inning, a wall of clouds roll in, and the wind completely shifts 90 degrees and increases by probably 5 to 10 miles an hour. As this happens, I look around, and you can hear everyone in left field start just screaming with excitement and joy. It's mm-hmm. like between at-bats or between innings, so I have no idea what's going on. And then I feel it. A storm had blown out of Canada. It went from 94 to 72 degrees in the snap of a finger as the wind shifted. One of the most unbelievable, just sudden changes I've ever experienced with weather. You know, I'm a big weather guy. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody gave everyone in the crowd like a big cup of coffee. They were all just, it just got the energy going. Then the Cubs win 6-5. We caught the train before the actual weather hit, which was a big bonus because I can only imagine Wrigley Field had to be a complete wreck once mm-hmm. that. It was bad rain and lightning that came in. So we get back to the hotel. We are walking into the hotel as the rain starts to pour. Our hotel is right up against Lake Michigan, and there's a big beach area behind our hotel.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, let's go and see if we can see the storm rolling across Lake Michigan. So we walk through the hotel, and we get to the back door of the hotel, which kind of opens up into the park that leads to the beach. And it starts just a melee storm. Lightning, wind, heavy rain, freezing cold rain too. And we start to hear screams. And over the hill rushes a couple hundred people who had been on the beach who were sprinting now back to the streets of Chicago to get out of this rain, trying to beat the front. They did not. There was a lot of heavy traffic. They got stuck on the other side of the road in their swimsuits and their nothingness of bikinis and swimming trunks. And those poor people sat there in 70-degree downpouring rain, lightning all around, and no car would stop to let them cross the street. So we all just sat there under the awning, sipping, I believe they had water in the lobby is what we were drinking, and watched everybody have to deal with this sudden downpour. Very exciting stuff. But it went from 94 to 72, like that.
So that was the highlight of the trip?
I mean, there was other things that went along with that. But, yeah, it was pretty good.
How far do you think you guys were at the in your first row, second deck, bleacher seat?
Well, turns out the ball went 468. And I think I needed it to go, like, 475.
Hmm. That's a long way.
It was a bomb. Well, I didn't know that at the time. I was like, I hit it a little harder. Then I see 468. I'm like, that's probably about all he's got. But the balls are juiced, so... Who knows?
Juice them up some more.
Ton of home runs, though. Baseball, it's a lot of fun. 40,000 people at a Cubs game on a Saturday. Everybody we talked to in the hotel, they're like, oh, yeah, we're from God knows where. We're in town this weekend for the Cubs game. I'm like, wow. Like, this was their summer vacation to go three games in Chicago watching the Cubs. I felt guilty stealing one game. I stole a seat from somebody who wanted to be there. All in all, though, good experience. Have you heard of Cup Snakes?
I have now.
Big drama with the Cup Snakes.
We'll have to hit that on the flip side. Lots to get to. You also won the Open Championship, so congrats.
Yes, I did.
Stick around.
I absolutely did. Congrats to me.
More 3 and Out on the flip side. Stick right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios. So we joked that Houston won the Open Championship because he's got the same beard as Shane Lowry. I mean, you do look pretty similar.
Yeah, he doesn't make nearly as much money as me, though.
Hmm. I think he passed you this weekend. I think that was the moment when he hold out on the 72nd hole at the Open Championship.
Good for him.
1.9 million.
That's hit. What is he, a poor?
Probably can't even afford the corking.
Man, the weather on
Chicago
Sunday just ruined everybody but Shane Lowry. He's like, I'm from here. I'm used to this. Playing this all the time. This is the weather we get. Sunk, 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 sunk. That shot leading up to 18, beautiful. Then he two putts. Great job by him. Nice effort all around. As everyone else, who was the one guy that hit his shot and then just sprinted up to the green because he's like, I just want to be done with this round. I'm sick of it.
Oh, I don't.
I just want to put this in the hole and go to the house. I mean, he sprinted from, you know, like 140 yards out up to the green just so he could go ahead and putt out and be done. He was miserable. Felt bad for that guy.
I mean, I love
didn't have
the
a jacket, no umbrella, just out there in the gusting rain. He was sick of it.
I love the, you know, the Irishman winning in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All that kind of stuff, but I mean, it was really pretty boring. He was just too far ahead. Like, there was no drama all week, it felt like.
I appreciate that. He said, yeah, the course is going to be like this. I'm used to it. I'm going to play it well. Teddy loves the course. Rain or shine, he proved it. Big Shane Lowry, a.k.a. me.
Yeah.
Makes me think I could have been good at golf, you know? If I'd ever actually played and tried. I mean, for a long time, golf, you know, you either had to be super rich or then you had to be in really, 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 really good shape and rich. Or you could have just been Shane Lowry, whose family and friends made sacrifice after sacrifice for him to be able to play and practice golf. Now he's the Open Championship.
Shot 1 over 72. Nobody in the last 12 groups broke par. So 1 over was actually
really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Congrats.
So you like when they're runaway wins?
No, but in this tournament, I was like, if it had to be somebody, I'm glad it was basically a local. And I've liked Shane Lowry for a while because he just looks like a guy playing golf. You know, he's not one of these young, super fit, clean cut. He just looks like a guy. And he was out there doing exactly what he had to do. And, I mean, I realized, especially the last day, it was boring. Like, it was still tough on him, but he had done the work ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then you saw Sunday with that weather. I mean, people were just – they just didn't want to be playing golf. And he just battled the entire time to make sure that he, you know, got out of there with – what did he win by, 6, 7 strokes?
6, I think.
Six. It was a good day for the Irishman in his homeland.
I think Koepka had to play with J.B. Holmes.
That was Koepka's worst final round in a major so far,
probably
correct?
He's playing with J.B. Holmes.
Yeah, Holmes is like one of the slowest players on tour.
Well,
it gets on the clock every round.
At one point, they waved the group behind them. Like, Koepka was like, go ahead, hit your shot. It was like a par four that, depending on the wind, they it was the one with the OB behind it. So you can drive it, but it's obviously really risky. And so they're hitting 3 woods at it on Sunday. And basically, like, you'd either come up – if you hit a really good shot, you'd either come up a little short or maybe trickle it onto the green.
Mm-hmm.
And Koepka and J.B. Holmes had an awful round, too, so it made it even worse. And so – Koepka was just like, yeah, go ahead. Just hit your shot.
Just hit.
And dude hit his 3-wood. I think it might have been Lowry. He hits and it like rolls up onto the green. Might have been Fleetwood. That was the other guy in the group, I guess. And Koepka was just like, good shot. And this went over and they finished putting and then walked off.
It's like, yeah, we're not going to win this thing. So let's just go ahead and get out of here if you don't
yeah,
mind.
Yeah. Koepka just, he couldn't make any putts on Saturday.
Well, they said this was like the slowest greens any of these guys have ever put on, basically. Apparently the greens, especially once they got wet, were just, I mean, like putting on shag carpet out there.
Not only is J.B. Holmes a slow player, he shot plus 16 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Plus 16.
Boy, yeah, that's insult to injury right there. Nothing worse than a slow, horrible player.
There was a shot of Koepka like rubbing his head under his hat at one point. Somebody screenshot off the television with J.B. Holmes in the background. Buddy, let's go ahead and wrap this up. If you don't mind. Plus 16, I think I'm just.
birdie.
Plus 19 on the day, first round. That was tough. That's so he's 21 over in his last 16 holes. That I can relate to. That not the Shane Lowry part, other than the looks, but the Duval, mm-hmm. 21 over after birdie start. I feel like I've had a birdie start or a birdie par, and then just then I look like Rory on one. Yeah, just put that snowman on the board for me. Thank you, appreciate it. Moving on.
That's the final major. Feels weird.
Yeah, it was anticlimactic for the PGA for the season.
Now we're just kind of done.
Now we're without golf. Well, meaningful golf for an extended period of time.
And I guess
Tiger's back is hurting him again. Said he just wants to go home. I hope that's not a metaphorical home. I hope he's being serious. I hope he's not ready to just give it up and retire or something.
No, I
hope not. I don't think so, but I'm hopeful. Given my place this weekend, I wasn't exactly up early to watch golf a lot.
Yeah.
So I missed most of the golf.
They played till, the main stuff was like around lunchtime. Were you not up then?
Well, if I was gone.
Yeah.
You know, I was out and about.
I didn't get to. I'm not as caught up to date with the sports of the weekend, unless you want to talk Cubs Padres on Saturday. Then I got it. I got to see everybody in that game. Hayward he got called out to pinch hit with the bases loaded, popped out. Mm. I was like, that's the Jason Hayward I know. They brought in Schwarber.
Mm.
It was pretty great. My boy Kimbrel from the Braves, formerly a Brave, also along with Hayward. Rizzo had a double. He like leads the majors in doubles because that's what he does. Big double guy. That's about all I got for the sports. Unless you want to talk about our have you heard of a dart bar? Not like a bar that has darts in it, but
I have not been to a dart bar.
This was like the Top Golf of darts.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like bowling kind of. Like you go in and you rent your lane and it's a dartboard with cameras set up, but it's a real dartboard, not like the ones with the little holes in it that the plastic sticks to, and it measures very accurately your score, and you can just roll through a game of darts. That was one of the coolest things. I had never seen it before.
So you're like throwing real darts, but you don't have to keep score?
Correct.
It does it for you?
And they have cameras on you, so like if you hit the winning shot, they show a replay of your throw. I won the first game. No big deal. It was called Killer.
Killer.
I was the killer of the weekend. And then, it was incredible how fast you can play.
So it gives you different games to play, like if you're not a dart
expert. Oh, yeah, there's
expert.
And a couple of like weird games. Like we played a game called Snakes and Ladders, and there's a board, and you hit a certain area of the dart board, and it moves you along, you know, to a snake or to a ladder, and you try to get to the end.
It shoots
and
in ladders, but with darts.
Correct, but if you get to the end, the way the board's set up, you're ultimately going to have to hit an odd number, and the odd numbers are the thin outer layer for a double, the triple line, and then a bullseye. So it's very, very difficult.
Okay.
We were in first place. I hit a four, mm-hmm. and I hit the big mamba. We went from leading game to start. Very sad. Very
That's
tragic.
Tough.
Very tragic stuff. My man Charlie was not very happy with me.
Yeah, we're in two man teams, one team of three.
So
how'd
there was there were seven of us. So
Seems
it was
like
2-2-2-1. 2-2-2-1.
Okay.
Even number what?
Just for the whole bachelor trip, that would have made things easier.
Well, one guy couldn't make it.
Oh, it was always that.
It was
guy.
Supposed to be eight of us, and there
All
ended
right.
up being seven.
Eight would have been a perfect number.
Yeah, it really would have been.
You could add four on four in certain games.
Yeah,
two.
It's just the way
seating,
that's just the way it broke down.
Restaurants,
hotel, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Would have been nice to split some of that stuff with one other person, like a taxi or something.
I think I have more questions on the darts. We'll come back. Final segment. Cubs are in first place, two games ahead of the Brewers. There you go.
Packed house. I got to see a good game.
Padres dead last in the West.
They stink.
final segment.
Except hour that one guy who hit the lady. What a jerk.
Right back at you next. Final segment, hour number one, three and out, Monday edition. Nate Hodges, the well-traveled Houston Crest, who's now been on a subway, and Billy Wilford.
Big subway guy. Big public transportation train guy.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's cheap. I think I'm a believer. Do you know that there's a proposal for a tram system in Knoxville?
I saw something about that on Twitter the other
day. It would be a like 30 feet off the ground, and it would essentially be a loop around the city. It would run, I think, above Neyland Drive, down by the river, through, you know, kind of the east side of downtown, north side of back west, you know. Should help with parking, people say, parking and transportation around town, and cut down on traffic within the loop. I think it's only going to cost like $180 million. Something not that crazy. I'll stick with the scooters, I think. Let's try the scooters first and see.
How far can you take one of those scooters? Like, can I ride out to West Knoxville?
Well, no. I think there's a geographic limit.
Well, that was the problem at first.
It's like a fence.
The fence didn't work, and people were just riding.
They're loose.
They're just headed to Canada.
Dinosaurs are loose in the park. The fences, they're down. Oh, it's a shame. Good on Knoxville, though, for going with a bright orange and a bright green scooter, because apparently there have been a lot of issues with the scooters lately worldwide, especially those that went with like gray, silver, and black, because people just can't see them, not used to sharing the road with scooters. Apparently a British Instagram influencer model died last week. She was on the scooter. I think she was in the Big Ben loop in England. You know
really?
What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And she got hit by a bus. Didn't make it. Very sad.
That is sad.
So beware. Beware.
The ones in Virginia Beach had like really bright lights on them and stuff.
Yeah, right? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
The gray lightless, not a good plan. Not the way it should go. I almost saw a guy get hit on a bike Saturday night. Told you we went to that honky tonk, Carol's Pub. And I noticed some commotion outside, so I walked out, and apparently an Uber driver ran a stop sign, and a guy on a bike in the crosswalk got hit and flew through the air. He had to get ambulanced away. I was this close to seeing it. But I talked to Kathy, patron of the establishment, who was also a former nurse, and she said she thinks she's going to be okay. So shouts out to Kathy and that guy who got hit by the car, you know, on his bike. Is a rented bike, too. I don't know who's responsible for that. Maybe the Uber driver.
What do you mean, a city bike?
Yeah, city rental bike. Like a scooter, but without the motor.
Yeah. We have those, too, now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that bike was pretty torn up. But I think he's going to be okay. He's going to make a quick recovery, which we love to see that. We really do.
You know, the Tour de France is going on. It was a big weekend in the Pyrenees. But I have more darts questions.
I want you to try to make the Tour de France interesting if you can at some point. Work on that. Not today. There's not enough time for you to think of something.
You don't think so?
No, you can't make it.
Like 7 minutes.
You think you could do it now?
No. Okay. Well, there was one story that ties in with your other story.
Get hit by a motorcycle?
Well, a guy called a guardrail, like a temporary one, like to keep the fans. This was on...
Like the cattle guards, the tall silver things?
Yeah, with the little legs come out?
Yeah.
This was on Friday, I think, in the time trial. Well, it definitely was in the time trial. I think it was Friday. He like he was trying to take the corners near the end. If you know anything about the time trial, I mean, it was only...
No one does.
It was only like 16 miles. I mean, these guys are basically just hammering the whole time. It's the equivalent of like the 400 meters in track. I mean, it's kind of like a sprint, but it's too long to really sprint. Anyway.
It's easy for him.
So it's pretty late, and he just took it too tight, and he caught the guardrail, and when he wrecked, it just ripped his pants right off.
I'm sorry?
I mean, luckily they didn't have a close-up shot on it when it happened. I think they were using the helicopter. Well, they didn't have a motorcycle cam on it right when it happened, which was a good thing. they showed the replay from the helicopter. And so when he wrecked, like half of his suit pants, it's probably all, he was probably wearing an all one piece, like a bib, usually like a bib and a shirt.
Yeah, because, you know, the jersey, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
The so yellow jersey.
They usually wear...
See, I know some stuff.
They usually wear, like, bike shorts with the bib straps and then put the jersey on over top. That way your pants don't ride down all day.
Smart.
I mean, these guys, a lot of times, are on the bike for over 6 hours. So you can't have your pants riding down. So...
Can't have it.
He's coming around the corner, catches the fence, goes down, and just the way he lands... I mean, that asphalt, it'll just take your skin right off. Well, clothing, too. So... Luckily, there were some guys right there who ripped a banner just right off the side of the, like, from the like,
no,
the
he was, like,
banner.
Naked, exposed.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like...
Junk.
From the... I'm assuming, like, it had to be. Luckily, it was a helicopter shot, and they didn't show it again. I was just happened to be watching it live. I mean, it was just... All live. I saw was just, like, bright white.
Live on a Friday, Tour de France, watching at the Hodges household.
Wait, that can't be right. It couldn't be Friday.
Yeah, it can only get worse from here, man.
Maybe I was watching the replay. No, it
Saturday
the replay. They wouldn't have had
that was your Saturday.
Was the time trial Saturday? That make you.
I'm in Chicago at a Cubs game. My man is posted up on the Kleiner watching bicycles.
It was riveting.
Freddie Mercury would be proud.
But anyway, they ripped off some banners and just covered him up real quick.
So I don't hate the Tour de France. I used to hate it. You know why?
Why'd you used to hate it?
Because they would show it on the Outdoor Network. And for, is it 10 days? Like the actual race itself?
No, it is 3 weeks.
That seems a little bit more accurate because for 3 weeks there was no fishing shows on the Outdoor Channel because they just showed this damn bike race
Outdoor Channel.
All day, every day. This was back in the, this was
many, a long time ago. Okay.
Well, like 10 years ago. 15 yep. years ago.
He used to be on that channel they don't have anymore. I can't even remember what it's called now.
The Outdoor Channel.
No. It was either before or after that, I guess. It's on NBC Sports now.
Yeah, it's on
now.
NBC Sports now. But boy, it was a really frustrating time in the summer for me as a kid. All I wanted to do, you know, I'm home. Parents are working. I don't have a car. I'm just, you know, you're kind of at home sometimes as a kid in the summer. And so I would just watch fishing shows, you know, Bill Dance, Shaw Grigsby, the greats. And then for 3 weeks... Every summer,
yep.
I had to watch a bunch of dudes in tights pedal around.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. So then I found Kids in the Hall. You ever seen Kids in the Hall?
Mm-mm.
It's like Canada's Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day. That was my...
Actually, I haven't watched that much of the bike race this year.
It makes two
They
of
do
us.
The extended highlights now.
So no one listening has watched any of it, so...
You can watch, like, you know, basically the whole stage in like 10 minutes. It's great. It just
shows
you the
highlights. That does sound great.
Yeah.
Billy, a big Tour de France guy. Champs-Élysées.
Only when my man Lance Armstrong was competing.
Your guy.
No, his man. We got to work on, is it man or guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the disgraced former Tour de France champion. How many times did he win it? Four or seven?
Like seven.
Yeah. Four in a row.
Maybe that was
I think it was four in a row, seven
come
total.
Back. Yeah.
Not my guy. But I was locked in.
To that? When he was in it?
I watched.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure you did.
I did.
It's been really exciting this year. There's no favorites, so it's just been wide open. They had a different winner like every stage for the first 12 or something like
Boy,
that.
Boy, that is exciting.
Yeah.
I can't.
Simon
name,
Yates
I can't name a scene. Yeah.
From Great Britain. I mean, when he rode away up the mountain.
I will admit,
yesterday.
I have to respect the amount of cheating that goes into cycling. Like, you thought baseball was bad, you thought football was bad. Cycling is another level of complete cheating. I mean, they make Russia with the doping look. I mean, it's like playing a kid up a year in Little League compared to cycling.
Well, the guy that won the Academy Award, like, he started to make a documentary about cheating in cycling, and it turned into the documentary that exposed all of Russians cheating in the Olympics.
What was the name of that?
Icarus.
Icarus. I want to say Pegasus. I was like, that's not right. Yeah, Icarus. Flew too close to the sun.
It was
yada,
incredible.
Yada, yada. Yeah. But yeah, cycling. Like, motors on the bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Motors on the bike. Like, how you cannot get more cheating than a motorized bicycle in a pedal race.
Not really motorized. Just helps the pedals tick over a little bit easier.
I mean, but it is a motor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiny little motor.
Right. A motorized bike, like I said. the blood doping, the just.
It's one, I gotta find that study. Somebody did a study that said Lance Armstrong, like the way he doped, he probably still would have won a lot of, most of those tours,
even if he hadn't
cheated. So it's like a it's a fascinating study in the placebo effect, like because he believed. Because he's cheating, so he knows he should be better. Now he has this supreme confidence that he can do it.
So he pushed himself even further.
Yeah.
That is interesting. You just made it a little interesting. I mean, you know, the biggest story in the history of the Tour de France you made interesting again later. But, yeah.
Well, we're out of time. I'll have to try again later.
See you tomorrow on Tour de France Talk with Hodges.